Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
It's Dave Plyer and for Steve Cochran on this Memorial Day Monday on 720 WGN. So if you've ever turned on WTTW in Chicago and saw one of the best Chicago tours you've ever seen of the river, the lakefront, unique places in and around Chicago, then you know host Jeffrey Bear. And as we spent our final weeks here at WGN in the Tribune Tower, we invited Jeffrey to talk about the legacy of the tower and our two broadcast entities, which have been here for nearly a generation. GN has been here, radio has been here since the mid-1930s, and even WGN TV was here in the very beginning. And joining us in studio this morning to share some history and highlights of the famed Chicago Tribune Tower is Jeffrey Bear. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know what? You are Mr. Chicago. You are Mr. We were just talking about buildings as we're on the during the news here, and you just know everything about everything. I love watching you, man.
Well, thank you.
The original Tribune Tower was not here. It was built back in 1968, but it was destroyed by the Great Chicago
1868.
But it was destroyed by the Chicago Fire.
Yeah, everything downtown was wiped out by the Great Fire of October 8th, 1871, October 8th, 9th, 10th, 1871, and including pretty much all the city records. So there are no property, City Hall burned down.
Right.
Amazing. Yeah.
To think about that, yeah. There was a competition. In fact, I found when they were selling some artifacts from the building and some magazines and so forth, there was a design competition back in the early 1920s to build this building. And I've seen some of the renderings. I mean, there's some pretty crazy stuff out there. But that was a big deal. It was like a $100,000 prize.
Yeah. So this was one of the... By the way, I need to say we're in Tribune Tower right now.
We are,
as we are. I'm like sitting in a window looking out on Michigan Avenue, and WGN is moving out.
Right? Yeah, we're moving out of here. Yeah, in a couple of maybe 2-3 weeks, and the Tribune, yeah.
So it is the end of an era. The Tribune Tower in 1922, the Chicago Tribune was obviously under the control of the famous Colonel McCormick, Colonel Robert McCormick, real character, and Dave's laughing over there, and I don't think his reporters were laughing. They would
probably not.
They would salute when he came in the office, he and his cousin Patterson, who put out the word, they wanted the design, they wanted the most beautiful office building in the world as the world headquarters of Tribune, of the Chicago Tribune. And of course he had grandiosity doesn't even begin to describe Colonel McCormick. So they put out the word, and they had more than 260 entries from all over the world.
Wow.
There was a total pot of $100,000. The winner was going to get $50,000, and then the runners-up would split the rest. And this design competition really kind of defined the future of architecture at that time. It was world entries came in from all over the world, and some of them, there's a book that collects these, and if you look at these entries, some of them are startlingly modern. They could be built today.
I thought so too. Yeah.
Walter Gropius's entry from the Bauhaus in Germany. There were some sort of tongue-in-cheek entries. A famous architect named Adolf Loos designed a building that essentially just looked like a giant Greek column, as in the newspaper column. That actually became sort of a poster child for postmodernism in many, many, many decades later. It is startling. So what's interesting is that the winner of the competition, which is the Tribune Tower that we all know and love, was retrograde. It drew its inspiration from cathedrals of the 1500s. Because you think about juries who adjudicate design competitions, they're conservative, right? So these modern things that were being put out there in 1922, they would look at them and think, what's that? That's just that we can't have that in Chicago,
right,
you know.
Right.
So the winner was this much loved, beautiful neo-Gothic building by Raymond Hood and John Mead Howells of New York,
which they've named a fine restaurant after them, right?
Yes, Howells and Hood,
which is also going to be departing,
relocating.
Yeah, they're pulling everything out of here, brother. I got to tell you, Dean keeps saying that this is going to become a mattress firm.
Yeah, this window where we're sitting here, looking out on. Oh God.
Yeah. But, you know, there was prior to the building of the tower, there were reporters, columnists that brought back rocks, bricks from other historically important sites. And I don't think people who are just walking by the Tribune Tower every day realizes that there's pieces and artifacts of other buildings from around the globe on this building.
Yeah. Pilfered. Pilfered pieces of architecture from, and we're not talking about now. You're like underplaying. I'm watching people walking by the window. I'm just seeing if anyone's going to do a double take. If you look in the walls of Tribune Tower, you will find rocks. They're labeled from the Taj Mahal, the Parthenon, the Great Pyramids of Egypt, the Alamo, Notre Dame in Paris, you know, St. Peter's Basilica.
Abraham Lincoln's tomb,
yeah. Rocks from battlefields. Hey, you folks walking by, take a look at the side of the building, for heaven's sake. There's rocks. You won't believe your eyes. So the colonel basically put out the word, you know, he wanted to have a kind of a metaphor for the global reach of the Chicago Tribune, right? Okay. He had been he had fought in World War I. He was an artillery officer in World War I, and he was going through some bombed village in France. He picked up a rock and put it in his pocket, and he kind of got this idea, and he sort of put out the word to his reporters, and you did not say no to Colonel McCormick.
No.
And so can you imagine a reporter in, like, St. Peter's kind of looking around thinking, where can I grab a rock? some reporter wandering around the Parthenon. I wonder if there's a little piece of the Parthenon I can grab here somewhere, because the colonel's going to be really upset if I get off the plane without a rock.
Yeah.
Wonder if TSA, what would TSA say today?
Today? Yeah. You probably couldn't do that. Not in a carry-on, anyway. You could probably sneak it in your luggage, but not a carry-on. And it was completed in 1925.
Yes.
And so this was some of the things I've, you know, over the last couple months as we've been talking about the Chicago Tribune and WGN Radio moving out of here. What I had noted was there had been a couple folks talking on air about the fact that while we've been here since the very beginning, sans some time at the Chicago, the WGN TV building, which is over on Bradley Place, but that isn't the case. WGN Radio, which was owned by Colonel McCormick, we were at the Wrigley Building first for years, and then the Drake Hotel.
Yes.
For years, long, almost 10 years after the Chicago Tribune building opened, the Tribune Tower opened, did we finally move in here?
Yeah, and you know, this, you think about the early years of radio and TV, and you know, Chicago was known for the Chicago School of Television,
right,
in the early days. And this was a pioneering city for broadcasting, and in the early days, you know, people didn't really know what this radio thing was going to be, so they would be in, like, you know, hotels. The Edgewater Beach Hotel had a radio station.
Yes, right.
And do you know where, now I'm from WTTW Channel 11, do you know where our first studio was?
Mm-mm.
It was the Guyon Hotel. Guyon Hotel?
Well, that was WFMT Radio, which is part of WTTW,
sure.
But the television station, the Guyon Hotel, is over on the west side.
Okay.
Louis Guyon was a dance instructor and a hotelier. Channel 11's first 10 years were as a working exhibit at the Museum of Science and Industry.
No, I did not know that.
So
that's,
you go to the
cool.
Museum of Science and Industry, look in the glass windows, and see, you know, television,
that's
this new
cool.
technology.
Yeah.
Television.
See, you know, it's funny. We talk about the showcase, and we're not going to have a showcase anymore, but that was at a time where we didn't have the internet. And now, you know, you can still see what's happening inside WGN from your phone, from your
Wait,
iPad.
People are watching us right now.
Right now at WGN.
I didn't put on my makeup. I'm a TV guy. I didn't know. Oh, yeah, look at these security cameras all around
but
here.
Thank you for wearing pants. I appreciate that.
and I don't always.
We're talking to Jeffrey Bear from WTTW about the famed Tribune Tower, and there's going to be more after your morning traffic. All right. right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Happy Memorial Day to you. We're talking to WTTW's Jeffrey Bear about the famed Chicago Tribune Tower here that WGN is leaving in the next few weeks here. So back in 1935, we did move into this building, Jeffrey, and it was a WGN radio structure. It was built in the midst of the Great Depression, which I thought, you know, pretty aggressive because it was, I think, cost about a little over $500,000 to build. Six studios, four client rooms, one master and seven studio control rooms, workshops, dressing rooms, offices, and a 450-seat state-of-the-art studio. And the rest is history. It's pretty cool.
You know, when I read that, I thought, dressing rooms for a radio station.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was
live radio production.
Right. This was the era of the live stage shows that you would, you know, put on the air. And so, you know, you had a live audience in there. You had to wear pants.
That's right. You did have to wear pants. Yeah, because, I mean, we were also a affiliate of several networks, but Mutual Broadcasting. So we actually had some of the large television radio comedies and dramas that were done out of here.
Oh, yeah. A lot of national shows came out of Chicago
absolutely.
In those days.
Oh, absolutely. 1941. This is going to surprise some people, but WGN launched an FM station. It was called WGNB.
And guess what that became?
WFMT.
Mr. Dave Schwann sitting right here.
You got it. That's
yep.
right.
Dave Schwann is I'm going to out you. Occasionally works as an on-air host at our radio station, WFMT, classical music radio station, WGNB.
That's right. WGNB. That's exactly right. And then WGN-TV began daily operations in here with they started with this two-hour program. It was on in 1948. It was at the main studio of the WGN building. Programs were transmitted at that time. You think about 1948. There weren't a lot of TV sets in Chicago. There was only 16,000 of them, and most of them were in bars, right, around the
they
city.
They still are.
Yeah, but if you wanted to go watch a fight, you wanted to go watch anything on television, you'd have to go to your local pub to do that. 1961, WGN moved both radio and television to Bradley Place.
So that's on the northwest side over by where Riverview used to be.
That's right. That's right. And it was there for, you know, a long period of time. It was until 1986 that WGN Radio finally moved back into the Tribune Tower. So WGN has been part of this building for about 58 of its 94 years. And, you know, we got a chance to see the new building at 303 Wacker Drive. And it's a little sad to see us leave this historic building, but exciting to launch our future.
Well, and, you know, the other thing you're alluding to with WGN, you know, I mean, you guys know this, but WGN stands for
World's Greatest Newspaper, of course.
Chicago Tribune. That's McCormick, you know, the grandiosity. And,
that's right.
And so he's going to name his radio station after the world's greatest newspaper.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Hey, you've got a new season, before I let you go, of 10 That Changed America that's premiering this summer in July.
Yes, I host a national primetime PBS series. This is the second season of 10 That Changed America. It's going to run for 5 weeks, beginning the second week of July, Tuesday nights in primetime on PBS Coast to Coast. So tell your granny in San Diego that she can watch it too. And the three new episodes this year are 10 Monuments That Changed America. So everything from I was out at, you know, Mount Rushmore and, at the base of the Statue of Liberty and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, but also some unexpected things like the AIDS quilt or Civil War veterans monuments, the standing soldiers, which are so much in the news now because of the Confederate ones being taken down in the South. This next episode or another episode is 10 Streets That Changed America. So everything from Broadway in New York to the Lincoln Highway, America's first coast-to-coast auto route.
That's cool.
And then 10... We're calling it 10 Modern Marvels. It's really 10 Engineering Wonders. So, you know, I was on the Erie Canal and I stood on top of, went inside Hoover Dam and really looking at these like crazy engineering marvels. The reversal of the Chicago River is part of that story.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's, you know, I was traveling pretty much every week last summer all over America.
That's awesome. The new bridge that is at the Hoover Dam is quite
unbelievable. Yes, there's a bridge that soars way up above Hoover Dam.
It's amazing.
That's very cool. Very cool as well. And then we can catch you, of course, on Chicago Tonight and all over WTTW. Your tours are playing all the time, and you can get some great DVDs, too, at WTTW.com. Are you redoing any tours, or are you working on some new things?
Last year, year we remade for the second time the Chicago River Tour, because you know, the river just keeps on changing. This summer we're going to be out all summer long filming a new show called Chicago on Vacation. So it's all about all those places when you threw the family in the station wagon. So it's going to be about, you know, Lake Geneva and Door County and Galena and Starved Rock and, you know, Mackinac Island.
Where we go.
Right. So that'll be on in the spring of next year, but I'll be traveling. I'll be taking, it'll be my summer long vacation without my family. Sorry. Filming that. And I'm just finding out just amazing stories. We just finished writing the script about the North Woods.
Oh, that's cool.
Last week in northern Wisconsin.
Nice.
Mob history.
Ooh, nice.
There was a hoax of, you ever heard of the Hodag?
Mm-mm.
I bet your listeners have the Hodag in Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
Oh,
as the lumbering was dying out there, this local guy wanted to keep interest in Rhinelander, so he invented this beast that supposedly roamed the woods, and he even supposedly found and sedated one and showed it off at county fairs.
That's cool.
I just find out all these things about this.
Yeah, neat. Very, very cool. PBS's Jeffrey Bear. Thanks, pal. Enjoy
sure
your Memorial
thing.
Day.